This morning, I want to talk about, well, the title of my service. The title of my message is, We Only Recognize What We're Looking For. So let that sink in. We only recognize what we're looking for. So I remember when I first started thinking like a preacher, and Simon will probably relate to this, is you start seeing messages and everything, don't you, all around you. And I just recently, it was on Friday, Kieran and I were on a trip in the car, and I saw a sign that said, it was on a shop, you know, like advertising something. It said, we're big enough to deliver, but we're small enough to care. And I thought, there's a good one. We won't do that this morning, but has anyone ever bought a car? Like, we've got a little Toyota Corolla. You've seen it out there, some of you. Until we bought that little car, I never really knew they existed. But as soon as I bought the Toyota Corolla, then I was seeing them everywhere. Anyone else had that experience? It's just funny, isn't it, how that works? You know, the battery in our fire alarm has gotten flat. On Friday, it was beeping. Has any of you had that? You know, it just goes beep, beep. Until you fix it, it just keeps on beeping. It was so annoying. So we fixed it. Next day, I see it again. We're driving along, and I see this sign with a fire alarm on it saying, check your battery. I would never have noticed that if it hadn't been for the time before. So it's just interesting how it works. You know, when you get interested in something, then wherever you are, it seems to feed into that interest, doesn't it? In the negative or in the positive. You know, if you're into something, then you kind of see it everywhere. So that's the title of my message this morning, is that you only recognize what you're looking for. So we're going to look at a scripture here, and we're going to look at John 14, verse 15. I've got my Amplified version this morning. Who likes the Amplified Bible? And all the women said, amen. There's more words, isn't there? Sorry. Now, I had a conversation with my son yesterday about women having more words than men. He said, no, I think it's more of a personality thing. So I agree. I think I agree with that, because there are some men that can go on, aren't there? Don't say amen. Don't look at me like that. Yeah. Anyway, John 14, verse 15. It says, if you really love me, this is Jesus saying, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. And then if you're reading the Amplified, it says, helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Isn't the Amplified Bible amazing how it just kind of expands things? So your Bible might say, what does yours say, Christine? Helper. So I like the counselor, that word, but there's a whole lot of words to describe the Holy Spirit. They're all amazing. So let's just read on a little bit. But it says, the Spirit of truth. Now that's the other side of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit, you can't just say the Holy Spirit's just a Spirit of truth, because he is, but he's also a Spirit of grace. He's also the sanctifying Spirit. He's also our counselor, comforter, standby, all these things. So he's an amazing person. But it says here that the world cannot receive and take to heart or recognize, that's in the Living Translation of the Bible, the Old Living Translation, says it can't recognize him. Who are we talking about here? The Holy Spirit. It says the world cannot recognize the Holy Spirit. So when we're talking about the world there, the world is an amazing place, isn't it, that God's created, especially as Stephen said, Anglesey. We live in a beautiful part of Wales, don't we? And so the world itself is a good thing. God created the world. And my grandma used to always sing that song. I don't know if you have it over here. And I said to myself, what a wonderful world. You know that one. Did I do that well? I won't sing that. I would have sung more, but I've got limited time. So I know you would have wanted to hear more, but sorry. But the world is amazing. God created the world. And he said it is good. I mean, sin came in and kind of brought weeds and other things, probably insects that are annoying like wasps, but the world is an amazing place, and the people in the world are amazing. God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So God loves the people. So what is it talking about here? So he's just saying the people in the world, the ones that don't recognize the Holy Spirit, are really not really the people themselves, but the attitude they're caught up in. That's the world system, as it were. And it's so easy to get kind of caught up in that, isn't it? So people who, and we can all relate to this, I'm sure, at some point, we're motivated by maybe selfishness or envy, lust, greed, and that. So why isn't it that people, worldly people, as it were, don't recognize the Holy Spirit? Why is it? Well, recognize, let's just look at what that word means, because I love dictionaries. So it just says here in the Webster's, I know Brian has his own definitions, but we're going to stick to the dictionary this morning. It means, recognize means to acknowledge formally, to admit as being Lord or sovereign, to admit as being of a particular status, to admit as being one entitled to be heard, to acknowledge or take notice of in some definite way, to acknowledge with a show of appreciation, to perceive to be something or someone previously known or know him. So why is it that the world, or when we're caught up in the world system, it's very hard to recognize the Holy Spirit? Now, you're probably wanting a really clever answer here, but the reason why they don't recognize him is they're not looking for him. Yeah? The Bible says, seek and you'll find. So it's not rocket science, is it? The Bible says, if you're seeking for the Lord, you'll find him. He's not hard to find, as it were, if we've got a heart to look. Now, if my life is built on lies, deception, injustice, a lack of integrity, it's not like I'm really going to be out trying to find the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I'm doing the Welsh thing now. Yeah? Been in Wales too long. No, I haven't. I love Wales. Now, you think about Jesus. You know, Jesus was amazing. Now, he was going, the Bible says he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He loved the poor. He wanted to help the poor. You couldn't say anything that he did wasn't good. He was opening blind eyes. He was healing sick people. People who were demon-possessed, he was setting them free. So he was amazing. Anyone with any common sense who saw what Jesus was doing would say, man, he is doing good. There's no one who could have done more good than Jesus. But there were a group of people there that didn't even recognize him. Who were they? The Pharisees. How could they not recognize that he was doing the stuff? Because of what their lives were built on and what it would mean to acknowledge who Jesus was. Now, there's a brilliant scripture in Proverbs that says, in the Living Translation, the Old Living, it says, the good man loves truth and justice, but the evil man fears these things above all else because they spell his doom. So meeting the Spirit of truth, that's the Spirit of truth part of the Holy Spirit, will mean for us, for you, for me, will mean some changes, won't it? Yeah? But praise God, the Spirit of God isn't just the Spirit of truth, he's also the Spirit of grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Remember, Moses brought the law, Jesus brought grace and truth, didn't he? I remember back in New Zealand when I was teaching in a particular school, every 3 years you have what's called ERO, which is Education Review Office. Over here it's called Ofsted. And depending on which school you're in, they may come in every 2 years, every 3 years. If you're a really good school, maybe the better the school, the longer the gap of time. But if the school, if your purpose and you're working hard to provide the best service you can for the students that you're teaching, when they come in, you're not really panicking about it. But it's funny how, you know, the panic happens because their job is only to make sure that the teachers are bringing a good service to the school. So the fear comes when, oh, hang on a minute, my planning's not up to scratch, I haven't been marking my books, or whatever, that kind of thing, and teachers are running around afraid. But that's where we see that the Holy Spirit's not here to kind of catch us out and to show us up and to make us feel bad. He's there because he's wanting us to He's wanting to minister to us so that we begin to prosper, so that we can offer a service to the world. We can begin to bless the world. So that's just a little thought to think about there. But the other thing, the Holy Spirit is amazing. He's our teacher, he's our comforter, he's our encourager. But I just want to look at the Holy Spirit being our counselor. Have any of you ever been in a pickle and you've thought, man, I'm in a mess, and you just come before God? And I might have mentioned it last week, and you think he's going to be really hard or say something like, man, you've gone too far this time, or I'm going to have to punish you now, put you in whatever. But often, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, and most times, when you come to him and you're really weak, broken, you've made a mistake, whatever, he'll say things that will surprise you. He'll say, you know, he'll say not always what you'll expect. He'll say, look, and I mentioned it last week, he might say something like, the mistake you made, not only will I forgive you, not only will I give you a grace, but I'll put wisdom in that. If you can just be, you know, if you can walk with me, I'll put wisdom in this experience that will put you further ahead if you hadn't made the mistake. I'm just repeating that for someone this morning. Or he may say, you know, those mistakes you made with that person and the breakdown in that relationship, I'm actually going to build something out of that that will take you further ahead, that will make a stronger friendship with that person. Whatever, I think you get what I'm saying here. He's truth. He'll say, this is how it is. But then the grace will say, now I'm going to show you how you can resolve this and come out a better person because of it. And that's amazing. So what is, if you like, what is the key purpose of a counselor? I did a paper at Hamilton Tech, what do you call it? It's like a technological school. And the purpose of a counselor really is to help people to adjust to life, isn't it? To make the little adjustments and corrections that will help them function better and have a better life. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants for you and for me. What does he want? I don't think anyone heard because Richard was coughing too loudly. Sorry, Richard. You right? So what does the Holy Spirit want for us? What does the Holy Spirit want for us? Does he want you to fail? Does he want you to bomb out? Does he want to catch you out? Does he want to make you feel bad about yourself? See, none of those things is the Holy Spirit. He always is looking. Why do you think the prophetic ministry is to edify, comfort, and encourage? Because those are the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to comfort you when you're feeling you need comfort. He wants to encourage you when you're lacking courage, when you're full of fear, and you know there's things you should be doing. You know you should step out for God, but you're just afraid. The Holy Spirit will give you the courage you need to do that. Edify. You know, edify is to build up. It's when you're feeling like you're just crumbling inside, when you know there's a challenge ahead and you're feeling like you're crumbling inside and you need the wherewithal, you need the power or the strength or the ability to do what you need to do. It's the Spirit of God who comes in and he speaks words to you or gives you that sense of everything's going to be okay, and then you're able to face whatever it is. You're able to jump over that wall. You're able to either smash through it or remove the mountain. It's a funny thing, though. The Holy Spirit is an amazing counselor. He's got everything you need. But what amazes me is how often people go to the wrong place for counsel. Maybe they go to people who will say what they want to hear. Because the Holy Spirit will only ever want to deal with something in us because he's got greater blessing in store for us. But we want to hold on to these things, don't we? And we want people to say what we want them to hear. We want them to say what we want to hear. This is a stupid example, but you hear just things like, how will I know, a couple that are going out and they're thinking getting married, how will I know if I'm sexually compatible with this person unless I sleep with them? What do they want the counselor to say? Well, you might have to try it out to see if you're compatible. Is that a good idea? They don't want to hear, no, actually, I'm sure God knew what he was doing by, you know, giving us the word of God saying, wait till you're married. They don't want to hear that because they want you to say what they, because they want you to appeal to what they're wanting to do, the flesh, the lust, or whatever it is. Sometimes we just want to hear the things that will just feed our own desires rather than the desire God has put in us and you know, and wants to encourage in us in the right direction. I wrote a stupid one down. I'm a bit embarrassed to read it, but I feel like I've kicked my addiction to nicotine. I've not had a cigarette in 3 weeks. I think I have beat the habit. How can I be sure? Well, the only way to be sure is to smoke a whole packet, and if you've beaten the habit, you won't enjoy it as much as you used to. Is that a good advice? Oh, that's ridiculous, but people go to crazy places for counsel, don't they? They wonder why they're not growing spiritually, because they're talking to people who are lacking wisdom. Because another name for the Spirit of God is the Spirit of wisdom, isn't it? He is a spirit of wisdom. He has all the wisdom, and he knows how to get you from A to B. And often we are stuck in A. We want to get to B, but we're just asking the wrong people and maybe not going to the one who can help us, and that's the Holy Spirit. You know, I think about Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to preach. So I've got 10 minutes, actually. I don't have to hurry. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden. And I was thinking about counsel. I was thinking about who we go to for counseling. And who came along into the garden? Who came in to give Eve? I'm going to pick on Eve because although I'm picking on Eve, Adam was pretty dumb. He was just standing right next to her, listening to the whole conversation. He didn't butt in. He just, here, Adam, have the apple.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
So, well, he wasn't too smart, but it was Eve that engaged in the conversation with the serpent, wasn't it? Wasn't she? So what kind of counseling did the serpent give to Eve? What clever counseling. So the devil came in and he said, you know, what? So did God say you weren't allowed to eat from any tree? I can't remember exactly how it went. But Eve said, yeah, he said, you can eat anything, but don't eat this apple or this from this tree, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the devil said, did God really, you know, he started to question the goodness of God. He said, God knows that if you eat from this apple, you'll be like him, knowing good from evil. So what he did was he sowed a thought into Eve, into her mind, and she began to wonder about God. Maybe God's insecure. Maybe he's threatened. Maybe he's withholding this apple because, you know, if I eat this apple, then I'll be like him, and he's just holding out on me and giving me, you know, telling me not to, because if I do eat it, I'll be just like him. And then she began to get suspicious about God, doubt his character, doubt that he was good, and then so she began to listen to this counsel from the devil who was enticing her, seducing her, and she began to think that what the devil was saying was true. She thought, well, actually, if I eat this apple, I think what the devil tells me will happen. I think I will, my eyes will be opened, I will know good from evil, and I'll be just like God. And she took a bite, and, well, her eyes were opened, weren't they? So the devil appealed to Eve's pride and selfishness. Pride is the root of all sin. So that's how the devil gets us. He'll appeal to our pride, our own selfish desires. You know, God's, you know, trying to make us feel like God's holding out on us or something. But that's not true, is it? God knows. God's good. God is a God of light. In him there's no darkness. So obedience, I know I'm off on a bit of a rabbit trail here, but obedience opens our eyes to recognize the Holy Spirit. See, Eve's eyes were opened, But what were they open to? Eve's eyes were open, but she saw a way of living that was independent of God, and that eventually led to death. And it's the same for us. If we're living independent from God, our eyes can be open, but it's a road. It's like Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. In Proverbs it says there's a pleasant way that leads. Even a way that seems pleasant will eventually end in death, but there's only one way, Jesus said. And that is the way of faith. The way of faith is hearing. Religion is obeying rules. Faith is walking moment by moment, hearing the voice of God. And that's the way of faith, listening to God. Now, some of you may have thought, well, when I said obedience to Jesus, obey my commandments or whatever, obey. When we even hear the word obey, some of us get frightened, I know I do, because we think, well, I'm not able to obey. Because under the law, we can't obey, can we? Because we're just trying to obey a law. But when we hear the voice of God, so if he asks us to do something, whatever it is, with the command that he gives us, within that command is the ability to obey it under grace. So if God asks you to do something, within that is the ability to do it. So he doesn't ask us to do anything that his grace won't empower us to be able to do. So, yeah, that really I'm just rounding to a close here. But so really what just to round it up really is that the world does not recognize the voice of the Spirit because it's not looking for the voice of the Spirit. Because I think... number one, it's wanting to live for itself, live a selfish life, fulfill its own. The spirit of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's living for its own pleasure, pampering, its own purpose. But that's why it's not recognizing the voice of the Spirit. But we recognize the voice of the Spirit because when you gave your life to Jesus, you said, what did you say when you gave your life to Jesus? You said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. You're wanting now to follow Jesus. You're wanting to walk in obedience to him. So that obedience then opens your eyes, doesn't it, to recognize the voice of the Spirit and to walk with him moment by moment. And that's really there's just a fork in the road here, really. You've chosen one way. You've chosen to walk in obedience to God. So your eyes are open now to his purpose for you. So once you decide to start living for God, then you'll hear his voice and then he'll begin to first of all prosper your soul. There's areas of ruin in your life, there's areas that are broken down, there's areas of mistakes that you've made and things that you've done and I've done that have brought areas of that make it hard for us to be a blessing to other people. See, we can't be a blessing to other people, we can't serve other people, we can't fulfill our purpose until God's healed our hearts and lives to a certain extent. So as we begin to hear the voice of the Spirit, he begins to remold us, reshape us. And as it says, as in John 3, it says, I pray that, beloved, that you, above all, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Why did John pray that prayer? Because he knew that our soul has to prosper first. We have to prosper in our soul. Why? Because God's calling us to be a blessing to others. So as we prosper and as we're in health, we can begin to, As I think it's one of the, might be Bill Johnson says, prosperity with a purpose. I'm not talking about finances, I'm talking about every area of our life. As we begin to flourish and grow and we're blessed, we can begin to bring that into the lives of other people. So that's really it this morning. So we only recognize what we're looking for, but we know what we're looking for, don't we? We're seeking God, we're looking and listening for his voice. So why don't we just, can we just stand? Can we have the band? We're going to have a response time this morning. Yeah, so can we just stand? We're going to worship the Lord together, but I'm just going to pray, and I really want to open up the altar this morning. And I think I believe there's a level of blessing that we're all called to bring to people around us. And that is just that God wants us to be people that bear fruit in terms of we want to treat other people the way we want to treat we want to treat others the way that we would want them to treat us. And we talked about how that's the fruit of the Spirit. We want other people to be patient with us, so we need to be patient with them. We want other people to be merciful, so we're merciful to them. We want other people to be gentle with us, so we're gentle with them. And that's the way. That's just the way we treat people. So that's kind of like, that's the first level of ministry that we're all called to be, ministers of the fruit of the Spirit. But then there's God wants to call us into a service, a ministry of service. So for some of you, you might be called to preach. Some of you may be called to be in education. Some of you might be called to be in politics. Some of you may be called to pray and intercede. Some of you may be called to make money for the kingdom. I don't know what your calling is, but that's sort of like the next level of service. We're all meant to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, but we're all called to a level of service. So this morning, I want to invite you to respond. And I believe that we all need to recognize the voice of the Spirit to see where He's leading us in this. We don't want to be stuck in A. God's got A, B, C, D for us this morning. So why don't we respond? If you want to just, you can stay where you are, but if you want to respond to the message this morning, I invite you forward just to say, hey God, I don't want to be stuck in A. I don't want to just be living a life where I'm just fulfilling my own purpose, my own agenda. I want to fulfill your purpose in my generation. So if that's you this morning, you're sick and tired of just living a kind of a life that's just existing, and you want more. You want to live for God. You want to stand before Him and for Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You don't want to look at Him and feel embarrassment because maybe you could have stepped out in courage and tried a bit harder or something. But God's grace is here for that. So why don't you come forward this morning and we'll just really believe God for a touch of His anointing on our life to really help us to move forward into the next stage of our lives this morning. Thank you, Lord.